Sorry about that. Good to see you again this evening. I'm going to try. I talked about a great Christmas gift we have from the Lord. Trying to unwrap our justification about all that God has accomplished for us in Christ Jesus. So I'm hoping to give you a Christmas gift tonight with a short sermon on a Sunday evening. That's what I'm hoping for anyway. So let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. Good to see Brother Darren Roll. And it's been a little while since I've gotten to see him. So it's a blessing to see you. Merry Christmas, brother. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we'll just read a couple verses, starting in verse number 1. And I'll limit my comments and just try to give you a message, hopefully that's on point for this time of year and the Christmas season. I want to talk about the light of Christmas and talk about the Lord Jesus Christ again this evening. Best joke I can come up with about Christmas lights is about a man who flew into Chicago and hired a taxi to take him downtown. And as he was riding along in the taxi, they came to a red light. And you probably heard about this taxi driver. The taxi driver went right through the red light. The man said, "Sir, that light was red, and you're supposed to stop." And the driver said, "Yeah, I know, but my brother does it all the time." Soon they came to another red light, and again he went right straight through, and the passenger got upset again. He says, "You're going to get us killed. That light was dead red. Why didn't you stop?" The driver said, "Don't worry about it, sir. My brother does it all the time." Then they came to a green light, and that taxi driver stood on the brakes. He stopped at the green light. And the man said, "The light's green. Now's the time to go." He goes, "What? You don't know what you're doing. Why didn't you go on through?" The driver answered, he goes, "I know it's green, sir, but you never know when my brother may be coming through." So there's your red and green Christmas lights right there, okay? But let's talk about some important lights, and that's the light of eternity, the Lord Jesus Christ. And 2 Corinthians 4 is a passage we can go to and celebrate this wonderful light together. So I'll start reading verse number 1, 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. And the Bible says, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." By the way, that is what we're celebrating in Christmas, that Jesus Christ is the image of God. The Bible says, I believe it's in Colossians, that He is the image of the invisible God. And God's too high and too holy for a sinful man to access, if you understand, through our own strength or ability. We couldn't handle the glory of God if we had him in the room with us tonight. You understand that? Right? So here's the thing to understand. God didn't ask us to humanly try to come to Him, which is what religion in the world tries to do. God came to us, and that's what we celebrate this time of year. Jesus Christ is the image of God. He's the image of a God that's invisible to us, but God is visible because Jesus Christ came. All right, let's keep going. Verse 5, "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake." Paul's reminding them about the ministry he's had with them there in Corinth. And here's the verse, verse 6, our text for this evening would be this verse. "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, amen, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." This is what I want to talk about just for a few moments tonight, is verse number 6. I'll reference verse number 7 here in a little bit as we have time. But I want to talk about how God commanded the light to shine out of darkness. Now, it's my personal belief from study that verse 6 is a commentary. The Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, it's a commentary reminding us what happened in Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, where God said, "Let there be light." What happened? There was darkness. God's purpose had been removed from this part of His creation, and God spoke, "Let there be light." And guess what happened? The light shined in the darkness. And just like God brought new life, new birth, if you want to say it, in Genesis chapter 1. You can apply that personally. It's a picture of the sinner who receives salvation. The Bible says that the devil has a kingdom of darkness, but because of Jesus Christ, Colossians chapter 1, we can be translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. So there's a kingdom of light. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a kingdom of darkness. That's Satan. He's the little g god of this world that we talk about in verse number 4. So here's an interesting thing. I think it's a blessing to see this, that God, where sin has been and darkness, where darkness comes, God has spoken light in the darkness. And I know it's a Sunday night, the Sunday night before Christmas, and I know I'm trying to preach a short sermon this evening. So most likely we're in the company of other believers who have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. Just understand, there is no light in me and there is no light in you without God commanding the light to shine in the darkness. If it wasn't for Jesus Christ, if it wasn't for the light of eternity, I would have no hope of light. I'd have no hope of eternity. I'd have no hope of reconciliation and salvation and that wonderful justification that we talked about this morning. So God commanded the light to shine out of darkness. Verse 6 says, "Hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." So I want to talk about light for a few moments together with you this evening. As I've read and as you try to study and learn more about what this truth of Scripture presents, I was reading something, this is a while back, about how that light is constituted, made up of three rays or three groups of wavelengths. And these three rays are distinct from each other. I thought about that because you have God the Father, and God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But these three rays that make up light, and it's just my personal belief that, you know, all light springs from God. Do you understand what I say when I mean that? If God actually removes His presence from something, then darkness is what fills that void. People ask, how can hell, or let's just maybe fast forward a little bit to the end of the Scripture and the eternal state, eternity yet to come. How can hell be a place of darkness? Or how can the lake of fire, let's say it that way, because death and hell are cast into the lake of fire, right? How can the lake of fire be a place of darkness? Because we know fire to bring light, right? I know there's different types of fire, but we know it to bring light. Well, the way that the lake of fire can eternally be a place of darkness is because God has removed His presence from there. And without the presence of God, you have no light. 2 Thessalonians 1 and other places tell us about what the second death means. It means being separated from God and the glory of His power. Not only are you out of God's presence if you die in your lost and sinful condition, rejecting God's salvation, not only are you separated from God's presence, but you're separated from God's power. Isn't that a scary thing to think about? Because there's not any prayers answered in hell. There is no calling out, "Be merciful to me, a sinner," and God's mercy and grace intervening in your situation. No, the time for those prayers are over when someone leaves this life without Jesus Christ. Very scary because you're talking about a hopelessness. A hopelessness. It's either eternal life and eternal light in the Lord Jesus Christ, or there's eternal death and eternal darkness dying in your sin. That's a great Christmas message right there. That's not something to pep you up, but it's actually very true, and we need to give our attention to it tonight. So talking about light and this wonderful picture of how God represents light, these three rays that are distinct from each other have their own separate function. Even though they work together, they're separate, if you know what I mean. The first originates. The first ray of light originates. The second formulates, illuminates, or maybe we could say manifests, and then the third consummates. So I want to talk about that for a moment. I want to make some scriptural application this evening. I hope this will bless you and help you. The first ray we'd often call invisible light. It's neither seen nor felt. You know, in the Old Testament, God showed Himself to the people of Israel. Moses was a spokesman. Did He not give the law to Moses? And do we not have Genesis through Deuteronomy in our King James Bible? We understand that. So, but God was very careful as He dealt and spoke with Moses. He had to protect Moses. Why? He's just a simple man. And when you're talking about that type of glory and that type of light, our flesh doesn't hold up well to it. It's interesting to me to think about it that way. You know, the Bible tells us in, I believe it's 1 Timothy 6, could be 2 Timothy 5, but anyway, it says that Jesus Christ dwelleth in the light that no man can approach unto. Amen. Something to think about right there. Your flesh can't handle God's glory. God's got to change us before we can be in God's presence. You understand that? Changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. He's going to take this vile body and fashion it, make it like unto His glorious body. And then we can be with God for all eternity, like we were talking about this morning. But anyway, this first ray is often called invisible light. It's not seen. It's not felt. Romans 1:20 tells us, "For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they," talking about His creatures, "are without excuse." Yes, the world rails on God now because He's not right there, if you want to say it this way, right there beside them. The world only believes, the world has the philosophy you have to see it to believe it. Well, good luck seeing the invisible God. You can't. You cannot see the invisible God. He is too far. He is too high. He is too holy for an sinful man to approach unto Him. You have to go to the Scripture. You have to go to the Son to see the Father in heaven. Colossians 1:15 is that verse I referenced earlier. It says that Jesus Christ, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. 1 Timothy 1:17 says, "Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." Do you understand? God is not a man, like I said this morning. Do not humanize God. I actually get personally offended. I try to deal in charity with people. I try to let God's doctrine have good results in my earthly life. But one thing that kind of chaps my lips is when someone refers to God as the man upstairs. I don't like that. I do not like that. I'm not going to punch you if you say it, but I'm probably going to give you a dirty look before I even realize it, okay? All right, I do not like God being referred to as the man upstairs. That is a humanizing of a holy God. He is not the man upstairs. That is an irreverent way to speak of Him. He is the Almighty Possessor of heaven and earth. He is the Creator, the uncreated Creator, I always like to say. Everything you see, He made, but He didn't have to be made. He's the Maker, amen? So don't talk about Him like He's a man. Don't talk about Him like He's an old man. Those things are not right. God is not an old man. God's not a man at all. God's not old, okay? God's always been. God's always will be. People say, how can God always be? How could He always have been? It doesn't make sense. It does if you understand God's the one that created time. Right. Time's the thing that tells you have to have a beginning and you have to have an end. If you realize that God existed before time existed, then He doesn't have to have a beginning and an end. So anyway, let's just get our minds right about God. Let's get our viewpoint. Let's get our words right. Let's get our terminology right. Let's get our thinking right when it comes to God. He is high and He is holy. Isn't it wonderful we can celebrate this time of year that God came down to us in love and forgiveness and salvation? This first ray of light is called invisible light. For man, it's not to be seen with your physical eye. It's not to be felt with your physical senses. No, we're talking about something that reaches beyond human capability or ability. I believe that represents God the Father. He's a big God, isn't He? What's that verse I refer to somewhat often? Is it in Isaiah 48:13? Where it says, "My right hand hath spanned the heavens." So a span of a man's hand in the Old Testament times was from the tip of his thumb to the tip of his pinky. Darren, I used to have one of those grip strengtheners, you know, and I used to use that thing. You know why? I wanted to palm a basketball. I thought if I could palm a basketball, I had a better chance of dunking a basketball, right? Okay? If you got to go up and you got to dunk with two hands, you got to jump higher. Okay? And some of us might be tall, but we're still vertically challenged when it comes to, you know, dealing with gravity. Actually, I used to jump pretty good for me, right? I got a witness right here, okay? My man said it right here, okay? All right. Anyway, I remember using that grip strengthener. Why? I wanted to palm a basketball. I wanted the span of my hand. I'm just holding my left hand because I had a bad left knee, so I jumped off my right leg. And my span of my hand, I wanted to be able to put Mr. Rollins right there in there. And I wanted to be able to hold on to him so I could go up and dunk that basketball. Is that impressive to you? Let me tell you about an impressive hand. It's one that spans the heavens. The whole cosmos that scientists have been studying with all the technology, computers, and they still don't know how big it is because it's that big. His hand spans the heavens. That's a big hand, which is attached to a great big God. That's why you can't humanize God. He's way too high and holy for us to put our human limitations on him. This second ray of light, let's talk about it for a second. If the first one represents the Father, the second ray of light is both seen and felt. We could go to Hebrews 1. We could go to several other places, John chapter 1, of course. And we could think about how the second ray of light represents the Son of God. Again, he is the image of the invisible God. John 1:14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we, John says, beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Romans 1:3, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. 1 John 1:1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the Word of life. The second ray of light represents the Lord Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad Jesus came? Amen? Amen. No Christmas if Jesus didn't come. No salvation if Jesus didn't come. No prophecies fulfilled if Jesus did not come. But he came. Amen? He came. He was born. He lived. And by the way, I know the world makes more of the baby Jesus than they do of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. Understand that? Sometimes that... I'm just airing my grievances like Festivus, I guess, tonight. I don't know. But I don't know if anybody would get that. But anyway, let's keep going. I don't know if... sometimes I get tired of hearing songs talk about the baby Jesus, the baby Jesus, the baby Jesus. We celebrate his birth because of what his life represents. Amen? His death on the cross for our sins, the Bible says. The Lord Jesus Christ is that second ray of light seen. He came. He lived, he loved, he died, he was buried, he rose again the third day, and he was felt. Amen? What did he tell Israel? What did he tell his disciples? What will he tell them again? The second advent. What will he tell them again? He'll have them look at the hands that they pierced and the side that they pierced. And they will, as a nation, be saved at the second coming of Christ. That second part of light, those second rays or group of wavelengths of life, represent the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you seen him? Today we see him in the Scripture. The capital W word is represented by the Word of God. The Scripture, the spoken Word of God. And we see him in our eyes of faith and we feel him with our senses. Aren't you glad for the Lord Jesus Christ tonight? That third group of light or wavelengths, those rays of light, is not seen but is felt as heat. That would represent the Holy Spirit of God. Acts 13:52 says it this way, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. Can I tell you to read the Scripture when it comes to the filling of the Holy Ghost and not pay attention to what religion says? Okay? All right? Because you'll get false information. And in the day and age we live in, we have to be careful about fake news, don't we? All right? Fake news isn't only on CNN, it's in religious circles as well. All right, but it is on CNN, okay? But it is in religious circles as well. We have to be careful about misinformation. And the Bible's very clear, as we rightly divide the word of truth, about what it means to be filled with the Holy Ghost, okay? I'm going to move on. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 18, the Bible says, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. So an excess of Christmas wine will give you too much Christmas spirit, right? An excessive amount of strong drink. That's a good biblical word for booze, okay? An excessive amount of strong drink will influence you. It will affect you. You won't walk the same. You won't talk the same, right? You won't think the same. You'll be under the influence, right? And you won't drive the same, by the way, okay? And it can get pretty expensive, by the way. So, and be not drunk with wine. We're talking about something that's excessive you can do. And physically, we should avoid the excessive stuff that the flesh wants to do. Okay, we have to do things to live. We have to take care of the necessities of life. We have to do that every day. When you get into the excessive part of it, that's when you start having trouble and health problems and all kinds of things. But there is one thing you can be excessive about, and that's the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. But be filled with the Spirit. What does that mean? Well, we could do a whole study on it, but I promised a short message tonight, so I'll just cut to the chase. That means the Spirit having you. Some people think if I do this, I'll get more of the Spirit. Remember what I talked about this morning? Some people are more justified than others. That's what religion teaches. Okay? I'm going to go to this fellow. I'm going to go to the... I have people that I appreciate and trust, and I'll ask them, I'll give them prayer requests. I want to know that they're praying about a situation or what. That brings comfort and peace to know that people are... But I'm not bringing my prayers or my requests or my petitions to a person like they're a priest and like they mediate between me and God. That's unscriptural. That's religious, but it's unscriptural. So that's why I'm trying to strike the right balance as I preach about that. So you understand, this person doesn't have more of the Spirit than this person over here. The big question about is how much of you does the Spirit have? Because at the moment of faith, we are filled with the Spirit of God. We are indwelled by the Holy Ghost of God. This third group of rays that constitute light represent, they're felt as heat. They represent the Holy Ghost of God. He does work. He does move. He does lead. He does convict. He does strive with us. And we can grieve Him, the Bible says. It's tapped into our conscience. It's tapped into our emotions. It's tapped into our feelings. It's not about how much of Him you have, because we all get the Spirit the moment we get saved. But are we yielding to the Spirit? How many times does your Bible say to walk not after the flesh, but to walk after the Spirit? That must mean when God tells us something more than one time or multiple times, that must mean it's important for us to help us. When God repeats Himself, we ought to pay attention anyway, but we ought to really pay attention. So we're not to walk after the flesh. Any unsaved person can do that, but a saved person can as well. But we are to walk after the Spirit, because the moment we get saved, at the moment of faith, God gives us the Spirit of God. What a blessing that is, that we understand that this third part of light can be felt, and it represents the Holy Spirit of God. Romans 5:5 says, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. That's why verse number 7, I haven't read it yet, but it says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. The treasure's the light. The treasure's the gospel. The Holy Spirit is Christ in us, the hope of glory. The Godhead works together for our good and God's glory. That's what it does. And this third part of light is felt as heat. There's this great example in the Old Testament. I won't take time to be thorough or exhaustive about this, but Judges 7:16 gives us the story about when Gideon and his mighty men had the pitchers with the lamps inside of them. Remember what happened? For the light to shine, and God had it all orchestrated out, and He gave them very detailed instructions, and they had to follow that to discomfit the armies of the enemy. But what they had to do at a certain time was break the pitchers, and when the pitchers were broken, then the light could shine. You realize that this is a pitcher made out of clay, right? It's an earthen vessel. And there's a lamp inside of it. There's a light inside of it. And we get upset and we moan and groan and we call foul on God and we say, God, why is my earthen vessel hurting like it is? Why is it cracking like it is? Why is it breaking down like it is? Do you understand it's just a chance for your light to shine? I didn't say that's easy. I didn't say it was always fun. But you know, it's a chance. It's a chance. When you're going through something difficult, it's a chance for your light to shine. There's a whole wonderful picture there if you want to take time to look at that sometime. Thank God we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. It's not how strong or big or impressive your earthen vessel is. Clay pots aren't really that impressive. But the light, the treasure that's on the inside of that vessel, that's the power of God. It's made manifest. What a blessing that is. You realize Christ is the light. He's what shines inside the earthen vessel. He's the light of Christmas. And the reason he's the light of Christmas is because he's the light of eternity. That's a blessing to think about that. Jesus Christ lived, he died, he was buried, and he rose again. And he did that for our forgiveness, our salvation. He did that for our everlasting life. There's nothing, that light will never burn out. That light will never go away. Daniel 12:3 is a great verse when you're thinking about eternal lights. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. Interesting that God would give that very, very intelligent man, Daniel, that lived all those years ago, but give him a verse like this that we still have today. They that turn many to righteousness as the stars of heaven forever and ever. Do you realize that God's light is upon us now, but God's light will be upon us then? It's really interesting. That's a wonderful promise, an eternal promise that will shine as the... If you walk outside tonight, you can... I don't know, it's probably pretty cloudy out there, but you might be able to see some lights of the firmament. Sometime you will be able to. You'll be able to see the lights in the night sky. Do you realize, as you can see those sometimes better than others, that's a picture of eternity in Jesus Christ? Something to think about. The light of eternity is Jesus Christ. Are we living for him now? We should shine for him now. We'll shine for him then as well. You remember that story? I'll reference it this evening, about the star in the window. Years ago, and I looked this up again recently, about the military service flag or service banner that was first flown by the families of active duty service members during World War I. The flag displayed a blue star for every member of a family who was serving in the armed forces of the United States during wartime or hostilities. It was a blue star on display. If that family member died, either from military action or from accident or illness, while they were on active duty, the blue star was then replaced by a gold star. How many of you are familiar with that? You remember that from the old days? Well, that became like a military tradition. I guess it started sometime around World War I and has continued in some places with some people. And that... That brings to mind one of my favorite stories. I know I've told it before, but about a grandfather and his son that were spending time together. I don't exactly remember the time of the year, but I know it was wartime within the United States. I think maybe it's during World War II. And I read this story about a grandfather and his son that were walking through the neighborhood together. And this little grandson had all kinds of questions for his grandfather, and they were spending quality time together. And grandfather was being real patient with him and answering all his questions to the best of his ability. And that boy kept seeing those stars in the window. He'd see the blue ones. And he'd ask his grandfather, he says, "What do those stars mean?" And his grandfather would take his time and patiently explain to the grandson. He said, "That means somebody in that house is serving. They're somewhere away from home right now. That star represents that family member that's serving and defending and fighting for our country and for freedom." And that was very impressive to the little boy. And as they kept walking, he saw the different color stars. He saw the gold stars on display in a few houses. And he asked his grandfather, he noticed they were a different color, and he asked his grandfather about that. And he again took his time and explained to his son that, yes, that means that that household, that family, has given a son in defense of our country. That son's life has been taken
on a battlefield somewhere far away. And that gold star represents that, the greatest gift that can be given to a country by a family. As a little boy continued to take all that information in, he looked up in the night sky, and it wasn't cloudy like it is tonight. The stars were out, and he looked up, and he saw a full array of lights in the firmament. And he said to his grandfather, he says, "Look, there's a star in God's window, too." And the grandfather wisely said to his grandson, he says, "Yes, son, because God has also given a son." And that's what we're celebrating, that God has given a son. That son is the light of eternity. He means everything. Right now, we should let him shine in our lives. And in eternity, that we'll spend with God in his presence, able to reflect it, able to glory in his presence, like the Bible tells us, we'll be just like Jesus Christ. We'll shine as the brightness of the firmament at that time as well. Isn't that a blessing that Jesus is the true light of Christmas because he's the light of eternity? I hope you know him personally. I know, again, who I'm probably preaching to tonight. But if you do not know that light, if you have not yet received that light, tonight's the night to accept the Lord Jesus Christ. Let this illustration of the rays of light, let them be real to you this evening as you trust the Lord Jesus Christ, as you allow the Holy Spirit of God to move in and take residence inside of you, the treasure in this earthen vessel. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Thanks for listening to me this evening. Again, we'll have an invitation tonight as we turn things over in just a moment to Pastor Carter. The message was mostly for believers tonight, but if you're here and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, it sure would be wonderful to make this the most precious Christmas season of all by accepting him and trusting him this evening. The Bible does say in the book of Acts, chapter number 16, the Philippian jailer was told when he asked the question, "What must I do to be saved?" The answer was this: "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thine house." You know what that means? If that Philippian jailer, who'd already heard some good things sung, he'd already heard some good things said by his prisoners, Paul and Silas, that night, if he would just simply trust the Lord Jesus Christ, and if his house, his wife, his children, if they would trust the Lord Jesus Christ, accepting him, accepting what he accomplished for them, then he'd be saved. That's what the Bible says. Religion wants to add so much to it. Works, ceremonies, all kinds of stipulations. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. For us that have accepted him, we understand that Jesus is the light. Well, we need to let that light shine right now. We have a choice every day whether God's light is going to shine. Are you going through something difficult? Guess what? That's a chance for the light to shine through the pitcher or the earthen vessel. It's an opportunity to let God's grace be on display for others to see. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time in your word. Thank you for this time of year, and thank you for our church family tonight, Lord. I pray that this message will be a blessing and a help. I pray that there's some truth there that will be applied and lived, Lord, and changes, good changes, can be made in our lives, Father. So we trust you for that, but most of all, we're thankful that the Lord Jesus Christ shined in our hearts where there was darkness and ruin, that God commanded the light to shine out of the darkness. What a blessing that we can know the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Father, help us to live like it. Help us to draw closer to you in the coming days. Father, for this invitation time, we commit it to you now and ask for your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together, please, and we'll turn things over to Pastor Carter.
Daily live. I surrender. Jesus, take me now. I surrender.
Tremendous message. You think about the analogy that was preached to us tonight. Light and darkness. Jesus was the light. The scripture says in him was no darkness at all. Jesus is so many things. The Lord wanted us to understand, and he gave us some physical things. He's the bread of life. We understand about bread. He's the water of life. We understand that physical necessity for water. But probably the greatest is he is the light. Pastor Stephen mentioned Daniel 12 there about we'll shine as the brightness of the stars forever. It's talking about those that turn many to righteousness, this verse says. That's soul winning. That's scripture. Don't understand it all, but that's a tremendous thing to think about. The glory and the brightness and the light. We sure are living in a world that's dark and getting darker. You and I, as God's people, are supposed to be the light. Scripture says, let our light shine before men. That's the fellow you work with, live side of, go to school with. When they look at us, do they see something to remind them of what's right, something that reminds them of God's light, or of the devil's darkness? It behooves us to want to live like Christians and shine like we're supposed to. I think the church has lost a lot of power in America today because we don't let our light shine, maybe like the early church did. Heaven's light hadn't gone out. The light's still there for us to reflect. Let it be seen in our lives. Good message for us around Christmas time. It is interesting how the lights come out at Christmas time, right? And they're beautiful, even though a lot of it has to do with paganism. I understand that. But there's also the truth of the light. And Jesus is the light. Amen. All right. Been good to be in the Lord's house today. Amen. If you're visiting with us, we're glad to have you tonight. And yes, we will be having church on Wednesday night. That's Christmas Day. And be observing the Lord's Supper. And hope you'll come. And appreciate you coming out tonight in the snowy weather. And a lot of folks trying to get the last minute shopping in. Amen. I'll tell you what. I'm glad I'm not out there in that crowd. And I was noticing coming into church, and it was just about dark when I was coming in. Car lights, bumper to bumper. On Henson Avenue and on 30th Street, where used to you would hardly meet a car or two. There's a difference, isn't there? Not just Christmas. It's happening in Florida. Of course, with some of the weather I see on TV, I don't blame folks for coming. But at the same time, we have a good opportunity to reach people and not just come to Florida for the weather, but let's give them the gospel while they're here. Amen. All right, God bless you. Let's be dismissed. Turn around, shake hands with somebody. Glad to have you tonight.